Testing speech, testing speech. Speech powers testing. Checking speech powers.
What the fuck's going on down there?
Yodelay, ladies and gentlemen, this is not DJ Vangelis. I'm confused. It's Friday. I'm here with WTF and TFW, and I'm joined again by Gog Dog.
Good evening.
Hello. It's a flurry of a time this month, isn't it?
Sure.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I got. Also joining us today is Seth Buzzard.
What's up, Rocket Vangelis?
I don't know much. Seth Buzzard, the podcaster with a mouth.
Rocket Gog Dog.
Seth the Destroyer.
Right!
Root.
That's what he's... Oh. Oh, no. Things are getting cosmic here, ladies and gentlemen, but we're going to keep it Transformer-centric for the next hour or seven as we do a little
Convoy
bit of podcastery. What?
Convoy Raccoon.
Okay, I guess.
Buzzard Warlock.
I still have to open my Adam Warlock. Hey, let's talk about Blu-ray DVD discs. Do either of you guys have the ability to play Blu-ray DVD discs?
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. I have some good news for you then. Oh, Transformers Prime Season 2 is coming to Blu-ray, confirmed on November 6th. I'm happy about this because even though it was probably going to happen, the way that the first season hitting Blu-ray wasn't an immediate thing had me worried that maybe it wouldn't sell enough for Season 2 to be able to be done on Blu-ray, but that was not really a feasible worry because I'm pretty sure there was nothing to worry about. So I'm happy because I want to keep buying the show on Blu-ray because that's how it looks best. So I'm a get one of those when they come out. Gog, what about you?
For sure, yeah. I'm going to get it. That almost seems really soon, though.
Yeah.
Because we're on, let's see, Toxicity was episode 41. So if season 2 is another 26 episodes, that would mean that the season should end on 52, right?
Technically.
So that means we still have 11 episodes to go before the end of the season.
11 weeks would take us into November, wouldn't it?
Let's see. It comes back at the end of August, so that means we got, you know, two. We got an episode on August 25th and the 31st. Then we'll have maybe four in September, so that'd be 1, 2, 3, 4. Four in October, 1, 2, 3, 4. That puts it at 10. So, yeah, like...
This is weird.
Yeah, it almost... I wonder if that date is going to remain the same, or if they just really caught up on Prime and are able, or they're just able to do the transfers that fast. I don't know. But
are we going to get... Like, maybe they did finish up a lot of the second season faster than perhaps we thought, and maybe they're going to show multiple episodes a week at some point. Mm-hmm. Maybe for the finale. They might run the finale, like if there's a two-parter, maybe run them back-to-back.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll be surprised if we get the full season 2 on Blu-ray on November 6th, but we'll see.
Yeah. Nonetheless, it'll probably be there around about Christmas time. Christmas or New Year's time. So that would be kind of cool. Seth, what about you? You going to Blu-ray up some Prime Season 2?
Oh, I don't like it when they split, like, discs. For series, like a season, they split, like, oh, season 2, part 1. I don't like that. I hope they don't do that.
I doubt they're going to do that. Shout Factory doesn't play those kind of games.
Yeah, they don't mess. But yeah, I'll probably get it and then put it next to my season 1 set.
And open it sometime?
Oh, I opened the season 1 set.
Okay, good.
I just didn't take the disc out.
Damn!
I'll get to it eventually.
Okay, and anyone listening who has the ability to play Blu-rays and has been watching Prime but has decided not to get the discs, change your mind. It's worth getting the discs. Oh. I'm just
Special
saying.
Special features.
Yes, well, They're not amazing. But there's commentaries. There's lots of commentaries. And the commentaries have really loud audio, I discovered.
Well, they're not called amazing features.
That's true.
They're special.
Special, perhaps fantastic. It's going to be the only time in the foreseeable future you're going to be able to see footage from the Unicron trilogy in Blu-ray quality on one of those features, is all I'm going to say. And maybe it's up-resed. I don't know. But Prime Season 2 on Blu-ray, they say November, but probably sometime in the next year. I want to get the word out. I want to get more people interested in that. Because Shout Factory also are one of the best makers of television and animation DVDs on the market right now. So I want to push some awareness if it somehow isn't there yet. But moving into things that are a little bit less obvious, let's do some new picture picks. Seth Buzzard, I want to know what your new picture pick is.
Hello, I chose one already.
Oh.
Unlike last time.
Oh.
When I didn't.
Oh.
So, you know those iGear mini warriors?
Yep.
They're not done yet.
Whoa.
They're doing more.
Oh, no.
So, they announced three more? Because we saw the gears before. We saw Hench.
Yep.
Saw UFO. Saw Sea Spray and Rager are already out. Or Spray and Rager. So, they got three more. Two of them are essentially recolors. And it makes sense. It follows along with what they did back in the day. So, like, there's a not out back.
What's his name?
Bushwhacker. And there's a not gears.
Mm-hmm.
So what do they call that?
Cogzed. I want that to be how you pronounce it.
I know. P's are weird.
Yeah.
And a new mold, an all new, all different mold, a not beachcomber called Dune Runner, which is actually kind of a boring name.
I like that. I like that name for being the weirdly not crazy name from a stable of crazy names.
And they resisted making some sort of hippie pothead joke.
Pot smoker. Just go all out. No subtlety whatsoever.
That would have been amazing. So, but it does look like the two basically repaint guys, Bushwhacker and Cogs. It looks like they at least have new heads.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this picture is kind of small, but it looks like they have new heads. So, there's that.
Well, there's, isn't it like Cogs is a new mold, and the bottom left, the whatever they're going to call Swerve, would be the re-something? The new head repaint guy?
Yeah.
That's the mystery. We don't know what that guy's called, because whoever took this photo for some reason decided to cut his name off.
Yeah, I got confused when you were saying it was Cogs, because I thought Cogs was the name of the... Never mind. Anyway, yeah, we don't know what that one is. So, like, the Swerve...
Yeah.
And Bushwhacker, new heads, it looks like.
I hope he's posable enough to do the Bushwhacker walk. Like, you know, waving your arms up and down. And
oh, like that march with the elf where you're throwing your elbows up.
Give him a little hat.
Probably not.
Aw.
His arm, I don't think the arms are going to be able to get high enough over his head to make that happen.
Bummer.
But you could do a video of it and hold it up real close to the camera and go, and then get two of them and make them lick the top of each other's heads.
Oh, man. So we need to have the fan third party add on for him, not be a headband, but be like a little attachable tongue.
Yes.
Oh, I would love that.
But, like, I really like Spray and Rager. I still have Hench and UFO on pre-order. They originally, on Big Bad, listed as a July release, but
that
didn't happen. So, someday they'll come. Someday.
Hopefully sooner than later. I mean, the Ratchet and Ironhide things shipped. So, I think, what was it, just last week or the week before, they showed final images for Hench and UFO. So those guys should be in the pipeline sooner than later.
Yeah, I'm passing on the Vans, the Ironhide and Ratchet.
I like the alternate heads on them, but that's, like, about it. Like, they look neat, but, like,
they're really expensive.
Yeah, I got to see one in hand first, I think. I'm going to go and pester. I think Chris is getting at least the ambulance. What? So I'm going to go. I'm going to go and shake him down and go, like, let me play with your toys.
Yeah, he has to get the ambulance because he's an ambulance man.
That's right.
It's my job. It's what I do for a living.
Ooh.
I'm an ambulancer.
I had to have a drink of water for that. Excuse me.
An ambulanced. I totally ambulanced all over the place today.
Ambulancier? Ambulancier? Oh, cool.
Hospital chauffeur.
Gog, I forgot. Were you interested in the Mini Warriors?
I got Shafter. I'm good.
Ah.
He's cool.
You've had your taste?
Yeah. I mean, I think they're neat. I mean, they're not horrible little guys. I don't know.
I missed the pre-order on the next two.
I don't have the compulsion to buy them.
I missed the pre-order, so not having the pre-order in place made me too lazy, and then I don't want to pay more than a certain amount of money once they hit other pre-orders. Because I still am trying to attune to the fact that the next two are much bigger, and thus are not $15, which made the first two so much easier to order.
Yeah. That's how they fish you in.
And did they just change the scale on all of them going forward, on all the new molds?
Yeah, they changed the size, the literal scale. I'm not sure exactly how much different it's supposed to be, because no one's really had them in hand yet, but Hench is supposed to be more like the size of a price point up. I'm not sure if that would be a full-on deluxe or like a large scout. But, I'm interested to see how this line progresses, if they are making them a bit bigger, because I think there's going to be a really certain fine line to walk where if they're too big, they're just not going to work. But if they're bigger but not big enough bigger, then they're just going to look like they came out of the molds strangely. So I want to see one in person.
Yeah, but, I'm waiting for Hench to come through before I commit to these other three.
Mm-hmm.
Or I probably will go for Cogs regardless, just because I like gears so much. But I'm not jumping in straight away on Dune Runner and the two repainty guys.
If Dune Runner's got a good, like a really good head sculpt, I might end up going in on him, because I like Beachcombers. It's kind of, I've got aviators on head sculpt. But, yeah, Iger Mini Warriors, they are trucking on. Gog Dog.
He needs those glasses to hide his bloodshot octaves.
His pot-smoking optics. Gog Dog, what's your new pick?
We got Color Pictures, staying on the third-party trend
mm-hmm.
of the day so far. We got Color Pictures of the Uranos Superion guys, the first two that we've seen great protos of from mm-hmm. TFC Toys. And just in case you guys don't have a link, here you go.
Oh, I've been staring at those pictures.
Yeah. They look pretty good.
Yeah, I
have to say.
I've been very much on the fence about them, because I'm like, I like Jets, but like, I stayed away from Hercules until three or four members were out, and I felt okay doing that, but, like, I'm riding this combiner hype, and I'm seeing these guys, and the black one was one of my first Transformers, and I'm like, I kind of want him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what to do. But I have until September, October to make that decision, so I'm all good. Did you hear the news that came out of the Chinese characters on the sign behind them?
Was that the thing of there might be six members instead?
Yeah, apparently the sign behind them says six members will combine, and that made some people flip out.
I mean, I can understand why, because I mean, if people want this to be their classics Superion, I can understand them wanting to stay as true to it and basically be a masterpiece version of that. And obviously there's going to be some degree of changes made, you know, just like they did with Hercules to some, you know, but
yeah,
I can also understand not wanting to change it to that degree.
I'm really of two minds, because I personally think having like a six member Superion sounds severely interesting to what I'm into, but given the way that I guess a vocal majority of the Hercules buyers were towards some of the differences in Hercules, to the point where the Rage of Hercules set was actually released to make it look more G1. I am a little bit surprised that if that is true, if they're going to do a six member thing, because I'm like, clearly you've got a customer base.
The
who
silhouette shows a black an SR-71 Blackbird, right?
Yeah.
According to the and there was no Blackbird in the aerial bots, was there?
Yeah. The debate is that supposed to be the new Silverbolt?
Right. Instead of a Concorde, he's a which that would be I could I mean see that's like an update that I could kind of get behind because I mean. You know, it seems kind of unnecessary because a Concorde is already kind of similarly shaped. You know, it has those kind of general same shape. The long fuselage that sticks forward, the triangular shaped wings. All wings, I guess, are triangle shaped, but it's like the planes have similar silhouettes. So
yeah.
On the other hand, like, that means you could still make that into a Silverbolt. But then again, seeing a white SR-71 might be kind of weird, because unless there are some, I've only seen black ones. But then, so that would be kind of weird. But then if it's black, like, having Silverbolt in black might be kind of weird too. So, I don't know. I have a feeling it's probably not Silverbolt, but
what if the sixth member is like Jetfire, but like
that would be horrible.
What if they took the Revenge of the Fallen Jetfire and classicsified him?
It would be totally weird and out of place, I think, for this. I mean, that's not to say I wouldn't hate it, but it's like, why toy with that? Like, just, I don't know.
It's weird. I really want them to toy around. Like, that's my own taste. Like, I want to see them take something that's really slavish and then, like, throw in a swerve. Like, with Hercules, the swerve was his Devastator mode is like the IDW Devastator with the tread forearms.
Right, that's a swerve that I could get behind, but just...
Yeah.
But kind of, like, reinventing the team and just, like, or adding a new member. Like, it's not going to make me rage, but it would probably make me less excited for the set. I'm not going to lie. And I wouldn't argue with anybody who would decide not to buy the set based on that. Because, I do like curveballs. And I don't mind creative liberties like that taken to some degree, but more in the way, like you said, of like an update or something. Like, I wouldn't, like, if they make Silverbolt an SR-71, like, I'm fine with that. Like, that, like, something like that would be really cool. Like, give maybe update the jets to more modern ones. And it doesn't look like they're doing that, you know, with Air Raid and the other one, but like, to any large degree. But I mean, I wouldn't mind if they did choose like more modern versions of jets for characters or stuff like that, or just make the proportions, like you said, like the IDW Devastator, like make the Superion based on some like really obscure take on Superion, something like that. Like, that would be
a
cool
comic version, or
like straight up just like adding a new member into the team. Like, I almost think that's going too far.
Here's another suggestion, which I completely blanked on, but Process brought up in the front page post. What if the quote unquote sixth member is not a member, but just a sixth piece? What if it's like the Rage of Hercules set, like an accessory pack to maybe take like the five guys combining into maybe a lanky Superion, maybe an accessory pack to bulk them out to look like the Dreamwave version or something like that. Or the Superion who just has little jets on his shoulder pads and otherwise has these gigantic arms. Maybe a little ramp to make the Silverbolt type figure turn into a little base. Like the number six, because I can even see, like, I think I see the character for six on that sign, so I see where it's coming from, and I see the characters that I remember from Japan that kind of mean like the triangle on the square that always comes on the front of Gatai. Yeah. So
and looking at the pics too, like I'm looking, I mean the other one, like there's the black F-15, that's Air Raid.
Yeah, it's Air Raid and Fireflight.
Fireflight,
much.
Yeah. So Fireflight is updated because that's not the jet Fireflight was. Unless no, well, it looks like those wings are just tilted up.
Yeah, it looks like they can spread out a bit more.
So it actually, I'm comparing the two jets. It looks like Fireflight maybe is no. He's actually really close.
I got another theory.
I thought he was like is it Dirge that has the wingtips up?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought maybe they had changed him to a jet that does that, but looking at it, it actually just looks like they're just hinged. Yeah, they're just kind of hinged up.
Well,
like
the sign they got in the back that's showing the SR-71 says coming soon. So I just had an idea, because this is kind of how it went down with Hercules. What if this is like five guys in an accessory pack, what if they release these two, and then the third one they release is the quote-unquote Silverbolt, thus enticing people to double buy the first two so they can just make a combined version early before the next two come out, because people were doing that with Hercules. There were people who were double buying Excraver and Structor while they were waiting for Neckbreaker and Madblender to come out, and so they made a Hercules who had symmetrical arms and legs. Maybe TFC is going to go for a selling pattern that's similar to try to. It's a smart thing to do, because there are people who are into a $100 a member rounded severely up. Combiner are the people who are going to buy multiples of the limbs because they're impatient. So that might be what's going on too, in which case that would be indicative of saying maybe this is a five-person combiner with a sixth add-on piece. Like, this is all speculation, obviously, but I mean, where did these even come from, these color photos? Was this from a toy show or something? Like, it just came off of AC Toys. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it says they were posted on actoys.net. So
yeah,
yeah, and comparing them too, like I'm I actually think Firefly is pretty dead on. So it looks like they are being slavish, which makes it. This is all speculation, so I don't even want to say anything. I'm going to wait until we actually have something to talk about. But like I like these two so far, because I think they look incredible, but they also do look really similar to the G1. So, and like, I don't think everything needs to be slavish, but in this case, it almost seems to be the appeal of it though. So, we'll wait and see. I mean, it's easy to judge something based on information that isn't even out yet. So,
and I'm sure that they know their audience by now, after having gone through Hercules, and like I said, releasing Rage of Hercules is obvious that the group who wanted to be as G1 as possible have enough of a voice to dictate what comes out. But yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing how this thing turns out. I'm happy that TFC is continuing with their style of combiner. Hopefully it doesn't get plagued by some of the problems that the early Hercules members went through, because I know that TFC probably ended up spending a whole bunch of extra cash having to like put all those replacement parts in all the boxes, like the new crane arm and the new hips and whatnot. Seth, what's your interest level in Uranos?
I think it looks, or at least those first two jets look amazing. And I think we talked about it last time.
Mm-hmm.
How I'm just really impressed with what we've seen of the jet modes, because it doesn't just look like they have a jet on their back and then the jet looks like a jet with a bunch of arms and legs folded up underneath. But I don't have a big, huge love on for Superion. Like, it's never been that appealing of a combiner to me. Like, I've never really been into them. Mm-hmm. Like, the original, the figure, I thought the legs were all kind of lanky and weird looking. So it's not something I'm going to invest in, but from what we've seen so far, I think they're doing a pretty awesome job.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't slight anybody for going for it.
And it's proven technology now too, from a proven company who's done it once. They did it once, like, and they're the ones who did it, who built a fully original combining third party thing. So they've got that pedigree behind them now to have kind of, like, I guess, like, a bit of trust up front that it's going to work out.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll see what happens with I guess they're spelling it with an O now, with Uranos. I'm going to continue on this third party and TFC bent, as at whatever event that was at, they also revealed, with a really weird name, their TFC purses. I'm guessing it's supposed to be Perseus.
Yeah. So they got the whole mythology theme going on. Hercules, yeah, and Uranus and Perseus. But they're all... Hercules is spelled right, but it's like now they're
getting creative.
They're changing up the...
Greece was like, stop infringing on our IP. Sent a C&D notice. So this is Hercules in the TCC Shattered Glass Devastator colors, which are Protectobot-oriented. So it's Hercules in white and red with a little bit of... just a little bit of translucent blue here and there. And looking at how they did it and looking at the close-ups of the individual members, it's a strong palette. They did a good job. I'm curious. I would be curious who's actually interested in this, except that every time this has come up, there has actually been a little bit of a vocal group who have said, I would totally buy it again in Protectobot colors. I think what's clever, number one, they showed a matching Rage of Hercules set attached to this thing, because there's two combined Perseuses, so I guess the Benevolence of Perseus set or something like that. And what I just noticed while I was looking at these pictures is Perseus, they assembled him with the arms and legs swapped around because he's in a mirror, so the crane arms on the other side.
The Rage of Hercules version of this should be called The Love of Perseus.
Oh man, I would love that.
The affection of Perseus,
and he comes with a big smiling face. I don't think that this is an awful idea, but given the amount of money involved in actually purchasing this, there's no possible way this could be something that they would assume all of their regular customer base would buy. Like, number one, the Hercules guys just got re-released in new packaging, so they are in no short supply as far as I know. And number two, like, if someone already spent the multi-hundreds on a Hercules, I don't think they would be as interested in spending the multi-hundreds just for a straight redeco. I don't hate the paint job. I also think it's really funny that this is literally a BotCon idea being done in an IP infringing manner, in a way that a lot of people who are into IP infringing stuff and not BotCon would thus groan at. I don't know. I like this. This is like multi-tiered trolling it's like a troll grenade, just like troll shrapnel flying everywhere. I love it.
It's a troll shape charge. I know how they can sell this and do it successfully. If they call it the philanthropy of Perseus.
I'm not going to lie. If money was no object, I might pick this thing up, because I think the color scheme looks really nicely delivered. But the problem is, money is an object, so I don't know. Seth, you sounded really excited.
Yeah, I don't approve. Do not approve.
Is it infringing too much IP?
It's infringing fan fiction at this point, so no, do not like.
Too much infringe.
I can't think that they're going to produce that many. I mean, this seems like something so specific. Like, they can't be thinking they're going to sell a lot
of these. Insanely specific.
Because, yeah, I mean, how many people are going to want to throw down? I mean, if you're going to throw down that much money, I would think most people would want a color scheme that has something to do with the molds. So either green or like a G2 color scheme or even like that crazy like knockoff rainbow color scheme, I think is more relevant than a shattered glass colored scheme. But I'm sure there's, you know, and it's fine. There's people out there that like it. And maybe they're all excited for an opportunity to have this. I don't know why you would,
though. Not a lot of people are that excited, but a couple people are super jazzed. And if anyone listening is one of those people, like, please come in the thread and like share. Like, we're not going to jump on you. I just want to understand the viewpoint of someone who is not just thinking this looks cool, but is thinking this looks cool and might actually buy it. Because, like, I think it looks cool, but I can't. I already bought one, so I can't really justify buying it again, regardless of.
I mean, if it was more of an original concept, the mold in the first place, like if it wasn't a Devastator infringement, then I would be fine with them putting it out in whatever colors they chose. But I don't know. It just seems like if you're going to spend that much money on something based on Devastator, wouldn't you want it to be as Devastator as possible? I mean, that's just my mentality. That's my mentality. So I don't know why you would spend that much money on a glorified fan fiction color scheme.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't even, like, they still haven't actually said they're going to sell it. It was just on display. It might just be a proof of concept where they just made three and were like, all right, let's just show it and see what people say. Gog, is this weird to you at all?
I get why they're doing it. I mean, they want to probably make the most they can out of it. And like, if this actually does come to production, I mean, what are they going to do a third Devastator with? I mean, I guess they could do, weren't there two G2 Devastators?
Orange and yellow.
Yeah. So, but I can understand them not wanting to do that. I don't know. Like, because I was going to say, like, there was the Make Toys Giant, which did the orange one, right?
They did yellow. Nobody's done orange yet.
Okay, but I don't know. Like, so I kind of want to applaud them for trying something out there, but my just absolute burnout and apathy with shattered glass is just like, okay, like, it's just, I admit. Like, just the phrase shattered glass makes me turn my nose up. So I am obviously biased. Like, I admit that. But so if it was like their own kind of original color scheme based on something, but, you know, but there are people out there that don't feel that way about shattered glass. So it's not like that is the only opinion to have on it. So there are probably some people out there that think this is really cool, and I think even Jared might have said it. I remember that he discussed it, and I kind of think he would be somewhat interested in it.
What would have got me more interested is if, and I know this isn't in line with the basis of what they're pulling from here, but if they went farther with the Protectobot thing and just literally followed the Protectobot color map, like assembled them like that, but then like made one of them like the middle two ones like blue and black, and then like one of them black and white, one of them red and white, and just kind of, I don't know, gave them a less uniform color look, something that I don't know, weird.
Yeah, but it's cool. I mean,
who knows what they're gonna do with it?
Yeah, whatever.
We'll see. Perseus may or may not be heading out into the ranks of third-party-dom. We'll find out. But speaking of Transformers Club stuff, this doesn't necessarily infringe IP. They have dumped all the details of the subscription service. I saw a funny tweet right before we started recording of someone just kind of wondering, like, So the G.I. Joe guys had to wait a year for their subscription service to start. Transformers had to wait 3 months. Maybe this is the start of Transformers getting something on an upper level than G.I. Joe, preferentially. Or maybe just timing worked out like this. I don't know. But I saw the tweet and I kind of chuckled. The subscription service that was revealed at BotCon, we've got money prices out for it. We've got in-hand samples being photographed. The service is live. Basically midnight on September 10th of this year. Unfortunately, I'm not sure if that's midnight Pacific or midnight Eastern. That the service is going to close up. But you have until the 10th to do as many orders as you want. And there's no limit on how many orders are going to be done. It's all going to be made to order. And so they said many times, like, don't butt rush our poor, you know, store and make it fall down. So the pricing on this, I want to say it was $282. Yes,
$282 before shipping.
Yeah, $282 plus shipping. In something that I found quite surprising, the shipping to Canada is at like $11 a figure, which is way better than any shipping offered to Canada by the club that I can recall in recent memory. I think that General Techno sussed out that the European shipping would be $20, but I'm not sure if I'm misremembering that. $282 for six figures. You add shipping afterwards. They're going to send them out in pairs over the course of 3 months. You have the choice of paying $282 up front or $94 three times, I think it was. There was also a request put out, a very cute request, of this went out to the G.I. Joe subscription service as well, of when you get your figures, please don't say on the internet what they are so you can preserve the surprise for your fellow club members. And it's a very cute request, but
yeah, that's no one take galleries of your brand new toys.
That's, you know, not just how the internet works.
Just ruin the surprise.
Like, nobody's ever tweeted anything they got the instant they got it.
Not even that. It's not like there's a semi monetary based rewarding system of putting up a video of a toy that not many people have yet and being one of the first ones to do that. It's not like that's going to drive some people to ignore polite requests and run out there and say what they can as soon as possible to be the first person you look at for information about. Anyway, it's a very cute request that is going to go more or less entirely unheeded by a majority of the people who are buying this, I'm quite sure. To the point where, even all this aside, Big Bad Toy Store already has these all up for pre-order. And someone said that whole request thing is not even going to play out because when Big Bad ships your pile of loot, they're probably going to tell you what toy you're getting. Or if you only pre-ordered one of them and then suddenly that one ships, you can probably deduce that that is the one that came out that month. So,
if you're going to get them through Big Bad, then they have to wait until they get them from the club. Mm-hmm. So by the time they get them, everyone that's getting them directly from the club will have already gotten it.
Oh, yeah.
So there's no surprise.
There's a surprise until the first person gets theirs. And that's surprise enough. I mean, whoever gets it first.
What kind of life do you live where you need all these surprises? Nobody needs this many surprises.
The first person to get it will have the biggest surprise of all, and then we'll share it, and then we'll all be surprised too. And hooray! Who knows? I don't. Maybe they'll be selective, and I don't even know how you could possibly be selective in how you ship it out. But yeah, the subscription service is live. It's Prime Slipstream, Classics Circuit, Beast Wars, Ultra Mammoth, Animated Jackpot, Classics Breakdown, and RID Generation Scourge. I'm hemming and hawing on what I want to do about this. I want to get in contact, I think, with a few more of the Canadians to see what they're doing. Because if we can, I think they said that the shipping rate they're sharing is for up to four orders. So if a whole bunch of people in this area are getting them, I'm sure there's already like order stacking going on. And you can order as many copies as you want. So technically, if Big Bad Toy Store and other places wanted to totally just obliterate the market, they could just like bankrupt themselves and order like 5 billion of these things. And that would be kind of a weird way to go out. But the thought crossed my mind while I was, sitting in class today. These will ship individually. Okay. So they're going to send out two per month, but they're going to ship them all individually. I see. Yeah, so this subscription service, we all were debating this a whole lot at BotCon. Gog, what are your feelings on this?
Well, I want that Slipstream. I'm not going to pay the club directly for it. I don't really care. I'm not going to get the subscription. The Slipstream is the only one that I really, really want. So hopefully I can just find somebody who is willing to part with it or split a set. How many are there? Six?
Yep.
Circuit. I think Circuit is neat. I think he's neater than a lot of people are giving him credit for. That said, I don't really want it for the price that he's going to be going for, like the exclusive club price of, depending on where you get it from, anywhere between, you know, 40 to 80, you know, that area. Like it's not worth it for me. If there was a Circuit released at mass retail and I saw it at Walmart for 12 or 15 bucks, I'd probably pick it up because I really love that mold. And I like the Axor mold a lot more than most people, I think. And the fact that it matches because it's an Axor, you know, we've been over this, but yeah. I think it's neat.
It's a clever toy.
It's not something that I'm willing to pay like the club exclusive prices for. Jackpot, I feel kind of bad because I love animated, but Jackpot, I don't know anything about the animated character. I just have no real attachment for it. So again, if they had released that as like a Toys R Us exclusive at retail price, I'd pick it up in a heartbeat just because it's a new animated figure, but it's not something I'm willing to pay that price for. Probably the only other one that I'd be somewhat interested in would be the Ultra Mammoth, but I have Big Convoy and it's Big Convoy. So I like that mold, but I've got it. So my that hole has been filled with the real deal. So there are several of these figures that if I saw like in a store, I'd be probably all about getting them. I'd even probably make the trip and go hunting for them, but there's nothing here that really has me wanting to pay that club premium price. I probably, you know, if you would have caught me, you know, this time last year, I might have changed. I might have had a different outlook on that, where at the very least I would have ordered it and then willing to sell them at cost to a friend or something who was only looking to part them out. But like, there's this, as I've said before, there's this really big barrier right now with me being willing to give the club money. And yeah, I mean, it's technically still the fact that I want one of them, but you know, the way I look at it is people are going to buy these sets no matter what. A certain amount of people. So if there's one that I'm interested in and I can help them out by taking it off their hands, and then I'll do it. Cause I do want that figure regardless of its origins, but it's not something that I'm going to be paying the club for directly. I don't have any intention of giving them more money than they would have already gotten to begin with. So yeah, that now between now and then, hopefully I'll find a way to get it at some point. I think BBTS has. You were telling me, Chris,
Slipstream
earlier.
Slipstream is $90 pre-order.
So I don't know if I'm willing to pay $90, and who knows? I might just not get the figure at all. I have a feeling I'll probably be able to get one off somebody for cheaper. Between now and then, but who knows? But I do want it. Don't have anything set in stone yet, and if I don't get it, it's not the end of the world. And I'm kind of glad that the majority of this subscription service is a big kind of meh for me, because it makes my previous decision to not order the set of figures much easier for me.
Mm-hmm. And Seth, what about you? How are you feeling about the subscription service?
So now, I don't see the price in this story.
It's not in any of the front page stories. It's in the replies. Or here, there's a Transformers Club.
It's $282.
Yeah, there we go. The cost is $282 if paid in full. Okay, here's the thing: it's $282, or it's three installments of $94, which I think comes out to $282. Let me do the math in my head. Yeah, okay, that's $282. And then there's also a $3 online processing fee for each billing. So if you do three installments, you end up paying $6 extra because online processing fees. I don't know everything about credit cards, but I did work with credit cards for about 4 months a few years ago, and I don't know the online side of it. I do know Amex has a fee attached to it when vendors use it. Amex is not one of the options there, so clearly that's not it. So I don't know. I think they really either just roll that into the cost of everything and then say what it is if someone asks, or just eat some of those $3 fees. Like, putting it on there, it reads bad. It reads bad, and it reads like the old internet.
Who do they think they are, Ticketmaster, with all these fees?
I have never used Ticketmaster. I don't know how they work.
They load up all the fees.
Oh, and there's also another thing. There's a $21 insurance that you can purchase, and if you don't get it, then they are completely devoid of responsibility if your shipment gets damaged or lost. So a lot of people, especially in Europe, they have to pay the $21 insurance thing. Again, having all that stuff separate just feels weird in the modern internet to me, but I don't know if I'm just like a picky young person.
Does that also include them jamming tech spec cards in the box and purposely dog-earing them because they don't fit in the box?
Maybe they just printed them smaller this time?
Yeah.
And aren't they supposed to have the new super awesome?
Yeah, the indestructible multi-layered, multi-corrugated cardboard.
Diamond
corrugated cardboard.
Mm. Yeah. It's so thick that now the spoilers in your figures, the tips are gonna be broken off on all of them, not just occasionally this time.
Maybe the boxes are slightly larger now that they're using the new diamond corrugated cardboard. I wish there was a recording of that part of the panel. That was so strange, that lengthy tangent about durable cardboard. When the whole room kind of slowly went quiet and stared. Like, what? Oh, cardboard.
Yeah, for the most part, I agree with what GogDog was saying. Like, there's cool ideas. There's neat paint jobs. But, like, with Circuit, my only draw to that one would be how just crazy it is with the colors. It's just, especially that robot mode, just looks ridiculous. And, you know, ridiculous things are appealing. But that would be one of those things where it was like $10 to $13 on a peg. It's like, yeah, I'll spend $10 on this dumb looking thing. But man, it's just for premium prices, like Jackpot and Breakdown just don't seem like enough. And then, you know, Ultra Mammoth is pretty cool, but I also already have a big Convoy, and I don't need another big Mastodon. So, like, I think the two stars of the show, in my opinion, are Slipstream, because who knows if they'll ever be an official Hasbro Slipstream figure of any sort. Seems unlikely, but who knows what will happen in the future. Maybe the character will keep gaining popularity and they'll eventually have to. But the one I would want is Scourge. But, you know, again, like, I don't know if I want to pay premium prices for a deluxe.
It's worth mentioning as well, I forgot to mention this earlier, the club clarified in, I think, an email that leftover, they may end up with, like, extra stock of these that they might be putting onto the club store for sale as single figures, but it will be apparently notably more expensive to buy these in single than in bulk. So the option may be available outside of the aftermarket for these things to be available in single. But I'm not entirely sure how that works. If this is all made to order, then I'm like, does that mean that they're going to just make an arbitrary number of extras to part out in single? Or
yeah, well, they always do that. Whenever they do the same thing with the BotCon sets, yeah. I mean, they have a bunch of extra, you know, and if it's a good QC run, if everything comes through okay, they don't have any broken parts, they don't have any missing pieces, then now all those extras that they made are now those are still sellable figures. So, mm-hmm. they're probably going to put those up for BBTS prices. So.
Yeah, well, hopefully they won't arbitrarily price them based on popularity. I mean, the BBTS prices are entirely based on a combination of popularity and size. Ultra Mammoth being just expensive, and Scourge and Slipstream being more expensive than, say, Jackpot, because clearly those two are more desirable.
I can see them doing that, though, because then that's going to set a precedent, and it's going to convince people, at least in their mind, to just do the subscription next year, because look what happens if you don't. You can get them, but you're going to be paying out the ass. So I could totally see them just going, they can charge whatever they want for these, because it's like, this is your only chance to get these from us because we told you so and you didn't take it.
I would hope they wouldn't, because one of the things that Mattel did right in their subscription services before all those started to kind of crash and burn around them was keeping the pricing uniform. So it's like, this $20 figure is $20. Every figure is $20. No, just because this character is more popular than the next one doesn't mean he's $40. He's still $20.
Yeah, I mean, it's one thing with a secondary seller like Big Bad Toy Store getting crazy with the prices, because, I mean, they're looking at possibly getting stuck with a bunch of figures that nobody wants.
Yeah, they're the aftermarket.
Yeah, as dirty or as unpleasant as it may be, that they're saying, okay, we recognize that these are the ones that people want the most, so we're going to charge more.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be a huge disparity.
Yeah, but
it's like a $30 disparity top so far in their listings. But if Funko was going to do that, that'd be crazy.
Let me finish making my point. Okay. So, and Big Bad and other sites, they do that with all kinds of stuff. Like, they do it with Star Wars figures. They do it with G.I. Joes. They do it with Transformers when they break down cases, and they know, like, okay, these are clearly like the peg warmer figures, so we'll do them at retail, but these are the ones that people are going to be trying to troop build or really super duper want, and we'll jack the price a couple of bucks. And, you know, that's one thing when you're the secondary market. I think it's completely, let me rephrase that. I think it's dirtier and less cool if the source of the thing is doing that. Like, Mattel should be pricing everything exactly the same because they're the toy company. And in that regard, I think the club, if they sell these things individually, should price them all the same. At least the deluxe size ones. Like, yeah, of course, charge more for Ultra Mammoth because he's so much larger, but all these deluxe size figures should have the same price. They should.
I think they will. I mean, at least they'll probably be within $5 or $8 of each other if there is a difference. But I'm just saying, across the board, I think they're purposely going to charge out the ass. I mean, not necessarily individual ones, yeah, like, but they're going to hike. They're going to hike this up because they want to make a statement.
Like, well, they said
for,
it.
But it's not. But it's going to be. It's just going to be a free for all. Like it's just going to be like literally like well. We've already sold out for all the good members that bought them like we told you to. So here are some, but, you know, it's not going to be cheap. So, you know, but I think that's going to be the first volley in their attempt to say, like, we told you so, you should have bought these. And I think that's going to be the goal of when those handful of figures they have left over go up for sale.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, like, I appreciate they said up front, it's going to be more expensive because you're supposed to buy the subscription.
Right, yeah. And it's not, a, yeah, yeah.
I'm going to even throw out a ballpark. I bet you the individual figures, aside from Ultra Mammoth, the deluxes are going to probably be $75 to $85 per. Because as it is now, they price out to approximately 50-ish if you pretend Ultra Mammoth is a deluxe. So, I don't know.
Well, and, you know, charge whatever they're going to charge. That's not what I'm arguing about.
Yeah.
My point is, all the deluxe ones, whether they're $50 or $100, they should all be the same price. The only exception that I would understand is like with Slipstream, who has a new head.
Mm.
But then, you know, don't get crazy with the difference. Like, if she's $5 or $10 more, all right. But if it's like Scourge and Slipstream are both $20 more, then breakdown, or then it's like, okay, now you're just trying to get people.
Yeah, I don't think they're gonna do anything that overt. I mean, that would be PR suicide on an even higher degree. I'm just saying.
Okay, that's something they've ever worried about.
There's no way that after all of the PR troubles of the last year, they would even contemplate something that would be that heinous PR-wise. That's like electrically charged cheese levels of learning like that.
Okay, Mr. Look on the Bright Side.
That's right.
Mr. Benefit of the Doubt.
I'm Eric Idle. I'm making huge amounts of money off the legacy of my coworkers. What?
Eric Idle performed that song at the Olympic closing ceremonies.
Really?
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
Oh.
It was, like, ridiculous. There were dancing nuns and a chorus line of Roman soldiers.
Something about the way that dude does his business these days always makes me kind of squint. I don't know why. I do not know why. Like, whenever he does something that's Monty Python related, I always kind of go like, huh.
Well, why not? I mean, he did the song in Life of Brian. I mean,
yeah.
He sung the song. And
no, if I remember correctly,
he wrote I'm a Lumberjack.
Yeah.
So when he does I'm a Lumberjack, like, who cares?
Yeah, it's just something, I don't know why. There's something about it. I always kind of just pause and squint. Because I still like him. I don't dislike him or anything, but I don't know. I think it's also because I grew up in an era where I got sick of hearing Monty Python quotes by, like, the middle of high school. And so now even when a guy from Monty Python does a quote-unquote Monty Python quote, I still kind of go like, ha, ha!
So you would probably go to a Rolling Stone concert and yell that you only want to hear new songs?
I probably wouldn't go to a Rolling Stone concert unless it was really easy to get to. this thing, I'm going to... as I said before, I'm going to confer with some of the Canadians to see what they're doing. Looking at the set, I mean, like, all the figures, they do something for me, mostly. Ultra Mammoth, not so much. And it helps that the big one that might be really easy to resell is the one I'm least interested in. But, you know, four of them I kind of dig. Jackpot, I think I dig mostly because I'm hideously biased towards new animated content of any kind. But, I don't know. It's interesting stuff. I don't know if I'm going to directly order one myself. It seems silly to do that if I can save on a whole bunch of shipping money by joining up with some others. But I'm curious to see how it rolls out. I really hope that it rolls out smoothly, because that is what needs to happen right now. I think this was a couple months ago when I was talking about club status, like the subscription service. It's putting them on the forefront when BotCon isn't happening, and when their freebie toy isn't happening right now, because we got Run Amok and Runabout. This is usually the downtime for clubs stuff and in the news, and so now they're going to be on the forefront again. This needs to happen very smoothly, because if it doesn't, it's only going to look double worse, I think.
So, well, I just hope that if this works out well enough to have them do it again next year, that they get more ambitious.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, you know, Slipstream, okay, cool. Like, that's a character that may never get a toy otherwise. Ultra Mammoth, that just came out of nowhere. Okay, so you get big surprise points. Scourge is something that people had been asking for. Mm-hmm. So, okay, you filled a need. Then I think the other three just sort of seem like, oh, we could repaint these guys as these.
Well,
three feel easier.
I want stuff to be at least as clever. If it's going to be, like, not obvious, I want it to be at least as clever as Circuit. I'd rather see a Circuit over an Ultra Mammoth myself. Like, I just want it. If it's not something that's obvious, then don't defer to something that might be. What's a good way to put this? If it's not going to be obvious, make it clever like Circuit, and don't make it something that's more of a fallback like Shattered Glass, for instance. Like, I think that one of the biggest boons of this sixdom of figures, the sextet, as one might say, is that there's no Shattered Glass in it, which means that it feels 100 times more creative compared to if we were at the Shattered Glass versus Classics BotCon and they announced, like, a subscription service with Shattered Glass toys in it. Like this seeing this palette of figures had me kind of going like, okay, keep it up. Just make sure it's not something that's completely just in line with everything else you're doing for BotCon already. Make it something new, something crazy. Make it varied like this. Like have like the one animated toy, the one prime toy, the one beast toy and stuff like that. I think this sets a nice like starting point, but it needs to always be at least this varied at its worst. It's got to grow. It's got to grow farther from here and stay super clever, in my opinion. We need something. I don't know. We need something like Iron Claw. Like the G.I. Joe guys are getting friggin' Iron Claw from G.I. Joe Extreme.
I want Iron Claw so bad.
Me too. And I think that like we don't have an Iron Claw in here. The closest thing would be Scourge, but he was a really obvious redeco of a toy that just came out as well. So that kind of lessens it a bit. I think that like if they do this again, they need to have an Iron Claw, but for Transformers. I don't really know who, like off the top of my head, I can't tell you who that would be, but there needs to be a draw to the next set that is on par with the Iron Claw that they're doing for G.I. Joe this year. So we'll see how it turns out. And like, you know, like I said, I really hope it goes smoothly, and I doubly hope that their new online system of collecting payment information is 100 times secure and nothing goes wrong, because you know they need to run a tight, perfect ship for the next year, possibly year and a half. Otherwise, previous events will be immediately referenced by a majority of the public if anything goes wrong. So we'll see how it turns out. Anyway, moving on from that, we've got a listener question from Odeon, who sent this in on May 1st of 2012. He says, "Hello, Vangelis and the TFW 2005 troop of awesome performers. Have any of you given Rescue Bots serious consideration as a valid mainline show? I have watched every episode now and am enjoying it a lot. It seems to me that in the wake of Animated, the Transformers universe has split into two directions. The darker plots have all been pushed into Prime, while the more fun stories have gone into Rescue Bots. The writers have clearly tried to put Rescue Bots in the same continuity as Prime. In the episode Christmas in July, Heatwave references Unicron and Lobbing, the bulkhead sport. Can you accept Rescue Bots in the Prime world? My daughter has almost all the toys from the current line, and although they are good, they are simple. Would any of you guys be interested in buying toys of these characters if they were more advanced and similar in engineering to something like Prid? Thanks for the show. I have listened to every episode. Odeon." I was going to preface by saying I still haven't watched Rescue Bots, but I did watch the trailer for the season finale. It looked very interesting. I want to watch the show because it sounds like it's done a whole lot of stuff that I would enjoy. I'm probably just going to binge on it sometime during my break. And I think I even said on here before, I would absolutely love to see the Rescue Bots done as like proper, quote unquote, older collector mainline toys. I think their designs look really cool, and I would love to see them advance into like deluxes. Gog, what about you? How's your relationship with Rescue Bots been of late?
I've still only seen the pilot, so I have seen more episodes than you have. I can say that.
Yep.
I'm not avoiding it. In fact, I have every episode recorded on my DVR. I just completely forget on a daily basis that I even have that to watch. So, it's kind of sad too, cause I'll be moving soon and probably watch none of it. So I have to re-download all of it anyway, cause I got to turn my DVR in. I don't have anything against it. I just haven't gotten around to watching it yet. And I guess the season's almost over and I've gone that long now. So, as far as the toys, I have nothing against Rescue Bots. I have the Bumblebee, which I talked about a few months ago when I got it, and I thought it was neat. And I think for the demographic, the age group that those are going for, I think they're really cool toys. They are a great, my first Transformer for very young children. They're very interesting, and it's a better effort for that sort of thing than Hasbro has made in a long time for that group, I think. So I applaud the toys. I think they're great. That said, like if they wanted to make more collector or older oriented toys, then I'd be down for it because I don't necessarily need fiction attachment anyway. If they made the toys and they were good, then yeah, I'd be down for getting them. Absolutely. Maybe that would even push me into actually remembering to watch the show once in a while, but I'm going to get around to watching it. I intend on hopefully seeing it all before the end of this year.
I felt so guilty when I saw the trailer for a season finale, and I was like, oh god, I missed the entire season. And then I watched the trailer, and I was like, wow, like, Tim Curry's character has his own evil robots, and Bumblebee and Prime are clearly from the Prime universe, and they're fighting evil robots. And I was like, that's cool. I should probably watch this sometime. Seth, what about you? Has your relationship with Rescue Bots been a healthy one, or a behind-closed-doors one?
Well, considering all the effort I put into not getting around to watching Prime yet.
Watching Rescue Bots.
I don't think I'm ever going to get to Rescue Bots. It's just, I don't know. It's just not appealing.
It's got Tim Curry.
Okay, cool. It's great.
Yeah. He's a villain in it, too. He's like evil Tim Curry, no. And not like your regular good guy, Tim Curry. Dr.
Frankenfurter. Yeah, what's he ever been a good guy in?
I was making a joke.
He was the butler in Clue.
He's always a bad guy. Well, they implied him to be a villain in Clue, like, constantly. Like, his performance was not very heroic.
No, well, nobody's performance in that movie was heroic. I think that's a part of the deal. Yeah, I mean, it's not attracting me. And like Gog Dog was saying, like, I don't need fiction attached, obviously. how much I dodge the fiction, like, TV, comic books, I'll get there someday, I guess, maybe, I don't know, later. I'm slowly backing out of the room. The fictional room. It's not an actual room. I'm backing out. Yeah, I mean, it's just doesn't grab me. And like the whole thing about, oh, is it set in the same universe as Prime? We joked about that when the show started.
It clearly
dropping off characters and saying, stay on this island and do that, fight fires.
Apparently that is literally what the show did. All right. Like in the clip for the season finale, Bumblebee's making the Prime Bumblebee noises specifically. Yeah. And he's like, burr, 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 and then like Prime is all like Heatwave. And I was like, holy crap, Peter Cullen's talking to some guy called Heatwave. Who's that? And then Heatwave was all like, I'm going to stay here and fight with you. And I was like, this guy seems like he could be a badass. I want to know more about this guy. I don't think any of us are opposed to Rescue Bots or trying to avoid it. I think it seems like in the case of the We Three, it's just like it hasn't fit into our schedules of viewing stuff yet. But I absolutely intend to check it out at some point because I've heard very much positive reactions to it.
It just doesn't appeal to me. I mean, it's not. I don't have anything against it. Like, if somebody's watching it, I'm not going to be like, that show's for babies.
Stupid, like, baby idiot watching your baby show for babies.
Then watch what you like. It's fine. It's
all good. The animation looked neat. Apparently it's done in the same kind of like Flash style as the current My Little Pony show, and watching the Transformer characters like transforming and like the evil robots like shooting their guns and stuff in that style was neat. I was like, wow, that's less Flash looking than I thought it was going to be. So, you know, props. I'll probably just batch torrent it at some point. I hope that answered your question, Odeon. This seems like a time for an intermission. So we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to be back with some acquisitions of the post-half Fortnite and more. So stay tuned.
Moropolis security breach. Outsiders detected.
Could it be? Two children, six robots. The meddlesome time travelers have returned.
Capture those robots.
Whatever powers them apparently powers my time machine. Once I extract their energy source, the reign of Morocco will stretch across the centuries. As for the children, make certain no one ever sees them again.
Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if it showed earlier on in the recording. I was a little bit fatigued. Now I've eaten half of a large triple pork poutine from Smoke's Poutinery. I'm feeling pretty ready to just take the world and hip toss it. So we're going to do that in our own special way by talking about things we bought this week. Transformers first and foremost. Mr. Gog Dog, did you get any Transformers this week?
I did. I'd also like to talk about a previous purchase that I haven't talked about yet.
Ooh!
Just briefly. I finally built the Kabaya, God Jinrai, the Super Jinrai, and God Bomber, the two kits that combine.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty neat. I think they did a good job of the whole combination aspect. And I think I said it in person, too, but I forgot on the show that I wanted to thank Ultra Primal for giving me a good deal at his table on that Kabaya God Bomber. So, thank you, sir.
Yeah,
but I built the kit. It's really you know, simple, but it was fun. And it's neat that they combine in both ways. The whole trailer thing, you can put it on as the extra trailer in the whole giant road train looking thing. But
trailer.
Yeah, super, it's God trailer.
The God Bomber God trailer for the super trailer on.
Yeah. But no, it's fun. It was cool. I'm glad that I picked those sets up. And the only toy I got at all this week, I don't even think I got anything off topic. I'll check again before we go into that section. But I was so enthused about picking up my Beast Wars Neo long rack that I got a Cybertron long rack. He is a retool of the, I believe it's Armada Hoist.
Yes.
And it's one of those figures, it was never designed to be an homage, but with a new color scheme and a new head, it's a darn near perfect homage. It works out so well. So he got a brand new head that looks quite a bit like Beast Wars Long Rack. It's got a few extra or different details on it. But overall, it's really close. They did a really good job with it. And this was in the day, too, before they didn't do the whole, we're going to sculpt all the heads when we do the original tooling for that mold. Like, this was two lines down, because he was originally Armada. This came out in Cybertron, you know, several years later.
There's a little bit of backstory I can drop in there. Galaxy Force released two packs of deluxes, Long Rack versus Run Amok, and Beast Wars Buzzsaw versus somebody else. I can't remember. Off the top of my head. And those were Galaxy Force exclusives for the longest time. And then at the tail end of Cybertron, because Cybertron, I guess, just did well, they brought everything over. So they brought those over. They brought over, like, the Galaxy Force color, or the color scheme called Galaxy Force Optimus Prime.
Right.
And, for the longest time, that long rack was, I believe, the biggest draw among the four. And so when he came out in the States, a lot of people were really pumped, because you didn't have to get him in a two-pack with Run Amok, who had a really good head, really good alt mode, and was the Armada sideswipe mold, so his robot mode kind of blew.
Yeah, and I waffled on getting that that Run Amok for weeks. Like I remember I saw it in the there were several at my local Toys R Us, and I was like, man, I really like that new head, but I just could not force myself to buy that mold. And so I don't know, it's one of those things where I think their heart was in the right place with that, but man, the mold that they chose for it, they should have just let that thing just die.
Yeah, it's one of those toys I want to get one day for like $2, because I love the new head they did. And the,
right.
And all four of those toys, they also remolded the Minicon gimmick to use a cyber key, which did mean they made a new part, and it made everything feel a bit more
cool. It's actually several parts, like his shoulder and the little pylon thing, because he's got... he has a giant crane arm, just like Beast Wars Long Rack. But it used to be you would plug the Minicon into the end, like you just plug it right into the end of the arm and it would activate the gimmick. But they completely redid the shoulder part to add the Cyber Key gimmick is actually in the shoulder versus on the moving part. So it's kind of neat. I'm curious to know how that mechanism works, that they can relocate the actuator to a different, completely different part to activate the part. But that part that's on the shoulder, that's on the little pylon thing on the top, got remolded too. And it's like, oddly, if you look at it from the right angle, it kind of looks like an animal head, because that's where the giraffe head would be. So, I mean, it's very vague, but it's kind of there. But I don't know. It's really neat. Like, there's so many little cues and everything doesn't match up super perfectly, but it's just one of those things where somebody got inspired and they did a really, really good job of doing it. And you put them side by side, and it looks like that could be if he was to take on a vehicle mode instead of a beast mode, that's exactly what he would have been. And that kind of leads me into something that I want to talk about too briefly. I had this conversation a few times at TFCon with people. I don't know if it actually went on the mic. So I want to say it again now though, because it's relevant to these two toys, the two long racks. One thing that I always found super fascinating with Beast Wars Neo, and they certainly weren't, the Neo toys were certainly not the first Beast Wars toys to have like strange kind of tacked on third modes. I mean, that obviously happened with the Transmetals, where all the animals, like you could kind of rearrange some parts and some wheels would pop out, and now you have a quote unquote vehicle mode, or you know, a fast getaway mode or something. High mobility mode, something like that. But one thing that I find fascinating about Neo is they did that without having to have the crazy hybrid Transmetal modes. It's like all the animals have true beast modes. But they also, and whether it was an afterthought or something, because some of those things are a stretch, and some of them are straight up abominations. Like you can't even imagine that was even designed to do it. It's just, let's fold some parts in a way and call it a mode. But some of them are more believable, like with Big Convoy, you can kind of rotate his gun around and now he's an elephant with the trunk coming out of his ass and a dislocated jaw, but a giant frickin' tank cannon coming out of his head. And it's even more believable, I think, with Long Rack, even though it's still not perfect, but he has like a giant crane arm. So it's like, why would Long Rack have a giant crane arm when he doesn't have a vehicle mode? And he kind of has, if you rearrange his parts around, he kind of gets this crane arm, but it's definitely not his primary ability. But that's one of the things that I find absolutely fascinating about this toy from a fictional standpoint, or at least the implications of that, whether it was intended to be that way from the beginning or not. Because what it looks like to me, and at least this is the way that it makes sense in my head, and I have to believe that, like, this is the way that it was supposed to be. Like, it needs to be this way for me to justify it in my head. But I imagine that Long Rack probably had a similar vehicle mode to that, you know, but obviously Cybertronian and not an Earth crane, but he had some sort of crane mode, right? So when he comes to Earth and has to choose a new alt mode, there are no cranes, like it's animals. So like he has this remnant, like these remnants of his old vehicle mode built in, and you can still pretty much put him in this cool little, he's got wheels on the back, weird giraffe legs in the front, and then a crane with little missiles on it. And the implications of that to me are totally fascinating, because it's like, it's an example of the Transformers in Neo are like, they treat their animal modes with the same respect as they would a vehicle mode. And now if you look at a Transformer that takes on a vehicle mode, like you have the whole, and nowadays I think we all just kind of refer to it as like Stealth Force, but like even G1 did it with the Omnibots, and there are probably some other toys I can't think of off the top of my head where like straight up you just have guns that can pop out of vehicle mode, or, you know, tools or something like that. Cybertron, what was the original name of it? Was it Red Alert or something? But it was one they repainted into Cannonball.
That was Red Alert.
Red Alert, yeah. So like there's multiple examples of Transformers that have like weapons that can pop out of their vehicle mode. Like that's been a standard thing for 20 or 30 years now. But I like the fictional implications of that happening in Neo, because from the perspective of a human being, it's grotesque. It is like an abomination. Like you look at that and you're just like, what the hell is wrong with you? Like a robot should not just be able to just dismember the parts of a beast to fit a gimmick. Like it's like you even question like the designers, like why would you do that? Like why would Big Convoy have a mode where his jaw is like separated with a gun sticking out of its head? Like that is just like, it's unnerving to look at in some cases. But if you think about the implication of that from, I mean, I know I'm using that word a lot, but from the perspective of the characters, like them treating their animal modes just like they would any other alt mode, depending on what planet or mode that they took on. Like, I find that fascinating. It's like, you look at Longrak, and the dude had a crane mode at some point or another. And he still has his crane mode, but from the perspective of a human being, it's this amalgamation of just animal parts going in every direction, and it looks horrendous. But from their point of view, if he had taken on a vehicle mode and was a triple changer, it wouldn't be any different at all. And the fact that he has like this crane mode, which is not his primary mode, and is probably a remnant of whatever he was on Cybertron, and at least that's the way it makes sense in my head. Whether there's some other completely other fictional reason that I've never seen before, and everything I'm saying is wrong, but like the whole thing with Big Convoy, like him being this walking tank, and that was something that IDW I think did brilliantly when they made a Cybertronian mode for Big Convoy before he takes on his mammoth mode. It's basically like this giant quadruped tank that looks like the skeleton of what's inside the mammoth mode. It's just like a giant robo quad walking like battle cannon. And like when he took on his mammoth mode, it's like he put the mammoth around that, so he can still transform into that mode. It's just when you have animal parts to that, it looks really freaking strange. And so, and you also have Stampy. Like Stampy has this scissor mode. Like he's basically, before he came to Earth and took on the form of a rabbit, there's almost an implication there that he could have been a, like, basically a target master, or like an arms micron, where he transformed into a, like, a physical melee weapon, or you have Break the Penguin, who has a gun mode. Like, these dudes were target masters. They retained their robot modes, but they can't be target masters on Earth, so they chose, like, a third animal mode. So it's like super fascinating, and, like, this Cybertron long arm, like, almost just, like, totally just plays off that, in that, like, yeah, he was totally a crane before, and this is what he would have looked like if he was on Earth when humans were here and there was vehicles. But he wasn't, so he just happened to take on a giraffe. But his crane mode and stuff, like, still completely exists. But if humans were alive and were witnessing that when these dudes were transforming, like, they would just be like, what in the living hell did you just turn into? But from their perspective, they're not treating it any differently than they would any other alt mode. It's just the fact that, like, from our perspective, the biological nature of it just makes it look completely abhorrent. So, I don't know. I've just been really fascinated with the whole third mode on the Neo toys and, like, kind of what that means for that universe. And I don't know. It's really fascinating. Maybe other people don't look at it the same way, but
I think
it's incredibly neat.
Because it's a tangent that I don't recall coming up very often in the years when Neo was kind of a newer thing. And, like, it'd be cool to take that discussion path and kind of bring it back to the early 2000s and just see how people would react to it. Unless it happened and I just missed it. But I don't, like, with the Neo toys and Neo in general, the most discussion I ever hear about it is, like, just the toys. And often just like, yeah, those shell former toys. And, like, that's usually as far as it goes a lot of the time. I feel like there's been a bit of a nice, like, in the last couple over the last couple years, a really cool kind of renaissance in how people are taking a look at Beast Wars 2 and Beast Wars Neo. It's fun to watch.
There's a picture of the two crane modes side by side.
I saw that on your Twitter. I blinked. I was like,
yeah. and like, that's an official mode. It's in the instructions. And yeah. Like the giraffe arm head crane thing, like, it totally, like, rotates down. Like, he could reach down and pick something up, like, rotate it to the other side. It is a functional vehicle mode. And no one ever doubted that, but it just, I don't know. Cool. I said, the whole he was a crane before, he can't be a crane on Earth, but he can still kind of become a crane. And the fact that that's integrated into his robot mode. He is a beast former with vehicle parts in his robot mode. And was it designed like that from the beginning? Probably not. They had to figure out something to do with that giraffe. So that was the best that they could come up with. But like I said, just the fictional implications from that, like it just seems like almost like maybe a beautiful accident, but it's totally brilliant. And it's not the same as the Beast Wars medals, where all that stuff came afterwards. Like, they didn't gain those modes until later. Like, for them, it was they've had those since the beginning. So, I don't know. It's just a neat little, it's a neat little group of Transformers that, like I said, it would that whole little third mode thing is, and how they view their beast modes versus their vehicle modes is really fascinating to me.
Mm-hmm. No, that's cool. I was really happy to see you picking up the Cybertron Long Rack, because I always forget about that, like those four toys. Like, I forget about them some. Oh, Blur was one of them. It was Armada Blur, but as G1 Blur. That's who the other one, I think. Yeah, that's who the other one was. That's who it was. I always forget about those four toys. So it was kind of cool seeing this one come back. I saw you having it's kind of cool, like, because you'd mentioned you were having a discussion with XV Braun on Twitter about how, like, when these toys were all coming out, you were just getting back into stuff and you were very just classics focused.
Yeah. And I started getting back into Transformers like probably late 2004, somewhere around there. And I think I remember Energon being on the shelves. I remember going into some stores with friends and we would look at the toy aisle and they're like, oh, look at this. And they'd be picking up the box and looking. I'm just like, those aren't my Transformers. And I completely wrote most of that stuff off. But I was really into the alternators and was looking into the like the book box style reissues, both the Hasbro commemorative series and the Takara stuff, and was getting really into that. And took me a while to get out of that whole, like, yeah, I remember these guys, but these aren't the guys I like. These are the guys over here on this internet page. I'm going to buy them. So, and then going back and seeing some of these toys that I'm going back and buying now or have over the years. And I'm like, man, this was on the shelf. Like, yeah, this toy was on the shelf for $7. I could have gotten it mint on card, but I turned my nose up on it. It's like, man, to go back in time now. So there's a couple of those guys that I probably would have loved to grab if I hadn't been in that whole G1er mode.
I feel like your appreciation for them is also like 100 times greater than most of the rest of us, because a lot of us who are in the fandom now who didn't get in with the live action movie, like, just those were the toys that were out when we were into it. And, like me and Aaron, like, we bought them all when they came out, and they were neat when they came out, then we kind of forgot about them. And it's cool, like, I like your fresh perspective on a lot of that stuff. It's kind of like when Crasis was checking out Beast Wars all of a sudden, like, hearing, like, someone who never, like, interacted with it, interacting with it now, and getting that more untarnished look from a future perspective. It's kind of cool.
Yeah. And, like, he's even a decent toy. Like, he's definitely missing some of the modern foregone conclusions that we have now, like posable feet. He's got nice knees, like ratchety knees. He's got ball jointed hips, but he doesn't have a like a thigh swivel. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have really, his feet kind of move, but it's more of a transformation thing. It doesn't really help the posability that much. So he's got the weird thing from older figures where he has partial articulation, but he can't really balance to support it. So it's like, kind of, what's the point? But at the same time, he's like, I think for an Armada age toy, like, he's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Modern figures are missing modern aspects.
Right.
Fall of Cybertron.
Exactly.
This toy is
better than Arachnid.
I want to second the recommendation that you got. Sometime over the next, like, convention year, like, see if you can track down a tidal wave of some kind. That was
He's definitely been on my list. It's just, I have lots of things on that list of just, I have a list of, in my head at least, of just, here's some older figures that I'm interested in picking up, and I need to actually, like, write those down and try to start checking those off, because this is a good time to do it. But, like, what I find myself doing, though, as I've said many times before, is going back to the beasts. And that's what I've been doing, for several times over the past year or two, is I get bored, there's nothing out, I've been going after the beast stuff, but I got to start remembering that there's still some older figures out there that I want that aren't beasts. There's not as many that I want like that, but there are a few. So
yeah.
I definitely intend on picking me up a tidal wave sometime soon.
I need to get the other two, because I have the Armada one, but I need the Micron Legend one and the Energon one. I like that toy a lot. It's just weird, because there's lots about him that is easy to not like, but something about his scale and his play pattern is just so fun. And he's got a cool head sculpt. I don't know, it's neat stuff. But did you get any other Transformers this week, or was that about it for you?
I think that was it, yeah.
Alrighty. Mr. Seth Buzzard, did you transformatize this week?
Got some.
Ooh.
Creons.
Creons.
I got a whole case.
Oh, yeah.
of those blind bag minifigs. So that, we talked about it in that show where you were missing, but the little serial number code way of identifying what's in the bags,
mm-hmm.
that absolutely works. There's no, it not working. because I sorted out all the bags before I started opening anything. Like, okay, all this number's together, all this number's together, this number's together. And every single pack matched with the numbers. So,
boss.
That takes all the fun out of it.
Mm.
But how the case broke down, it was 36 pieces in the case, six figures. There's no way to not end up with doubles. But they could have had five full sets in the box with only two leftovers. The way it broke down, and I don't know if every case breaks down the same way, but at least with this case, there were only four full sets. And what was it? Eight doubles. So that was a little disappointing. It would have been nice to get a fifth set out of it.
Yeah.
Because I don't need all these dudes. I don't need all these doubles. I really only need the one set. And I know a few people that he's probably going to get a set.
Yeah, so, I don't know who you want.
But like somebody on Twitter asked me like if I thought I was, or asked me if I thought it was worth getting a whole case. And I said, only if you have people to split it up with.
Mm-hmm.
Or you really want a whole bunch of each dude. Otherwise, no, it's not worth it.
I could see a value in having two of each so you can have like both modes on display. But yeah, I wouldn't know what to do with more than that.
Yeah, and they come with a lot of pieces. Each one is a bunch of pieces. And they come broken down in such a way, like they come in so many parts. Like I tried feeling them, and you could, if you didn't know the codes, you could probably figure out what was in what, because they all have at least one piece that is pretty specific. Like with Spinister, you'd probably be feeling for the rotor blades. Galvatron's helmet is a pretty specific shape, and his arm cannon's in there. Like there's probably something you could feel for to find. But it's not quite the same deal as how like the Lego minifigs are packed. It's more like how Mega Bloks packs their blind bag stuff, and just because those figures break down in more pieces than a Lego minifig does. And then when you throw in all those extra bits for the alternate modes, then there's a lot of little stuff in there to confuse a field test. But luckily, they put a big giant number on every bag, so you don't have to worry about it. but yeah, they're neat. The alternate mode works on some of them better than others, I think. I think the Beast characters, Waspinator and both Scorponok's not like a straight-up Beast, but like he's more animal formish. I think those probably work better. Like, I think they look cooler, especially Scorponok. I really like how his alt mode came out. Sunstorm kind of looks more like a missile with wings than a jet. And Galvatron just looks weird. Like, he's some weird tripod gun thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, there's so many limitations they're dealing with. Can't get on their case too much. I mean, it's a valiant effort. What they tried to pull off some sort of Transformers-ness to them besides just looking like characters. But, yeah, I like them. They're neat little dudes. more articulation than a Lego minifig, but yeah. I don't think that's bad. That Lego minifigs, mm-hmm. they're a different style. They're more simplified, classic style. They're not all newfangled. Yeah, they're cool. If you like cute little Transformer guys, then that's what these are. And if you like mini figures, that's also what these are. If you don't like either of those things, then you probably don't want them.
Hmm. Now I gotta see how they turn out. I want to mess with them. I like crayons. Crayons have been some of my favorite desk toys of the last year. So, standalone crayons, or so.
Yeah, so I got four sets. One's mine. And the other three are spoken for. Mm-hmm. So sorry, listeners that are looking for them. Please don't send me tweets and messages asking, because they're already gone. But I'll probably be putting the other doubles up at some point. See if I could get rid of those.
Cool.
And that is all my on topics. What were you going to say?
I just said, yeah, keep us informed about the other doubles you've got. Because I'm sure there are people who just want to get like one or two. Like all those Crankstart fans out there.
I'm trying to remember if that was one of the ones I only got four of.
I heard he's one of the short-packed, quote-unquote, ones. Like, the ones where you don't get enough for a full set.
Well, two of them, there were only four each of.
Yeah, I think it's been almost universal that one of those has been Crankstart.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he was. I can't remember what the other one was off the top of my head.
Was it Galvatron?
Maybe.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, those things are making the rounds at retail as well. I haven't seen any in Canada yet, but I am hearing they're showing up in U.S. retail, so keep your eyes peeled if you're looking, or just buy some of Seth's singles. It should be your store name, sethssingles.com. With a dash in between. If you do use that idea, though, I want some credit for it.
Use that idea, so don't worry about it.
I almost bought a Transformer today. I saw the Cyberverse Energon Driller on sale, but it was Canadian on sale, so it was still like $25. So I was like, I'm sure I'll find it cheaper somewhere else. And then I almost bought a Creon Devastator because I saw it and it was not $90 like I thought it was going to be. It was like $65. And I was like, that's cheaper! And then I stopped and I was like, wait, this seems like a bad idea. And I should do this later when he's not $65. So I didn't buy him either. So I bought no Transformers this week. So that's our on-topic what we got this week. Let me roll into my off-topic what we got this week. I then looked down, and I saw the World of Warcraft World of Warcraft Mega Bloks Lich King and Sindrezd Magdabagora, the Skeleton Dragon, and almost bought it, but then didn't, because I was like, I don't know how good these World of Warcraft Mega Bloks things turn out. I don't know anything about World of Warcraft, but this is like a $35 thing with a Skeleton Dragon, an Ice Throne, and like a Lich King minifigure. And Mega Bloks minifigures are poseable. So he was like all in gothic armor and stuff. So I was like, oh, I'll wait. And then I went home and read reviews and found this really weird video review by some site called like Play Everything, and the guy said, like, check out our site. It's the home of all things Play. I was like, that sounds weird. But I might go back and pick that thing up. It looks neat. Like with the Halo Mega Bloks, I don't really want to get into a lot of them. I just want to pick up the thing that looks cool, and in this case, it's the Skeleton Dragon. So I'll go take a look at it. I also eyed some Ninja Turtles. I might pick up one of those new Ninja Turtles vehicles that are like $20, because you get a figure in them, and one of them you get like a Ninja Turtle figure, so it's like the good figure. He's got a motorcycle helmet on. But what I did get is I got a package from our loyal listener from Europe, Dashiana, who on a visit to the States had ended up with a spare little like blind packed figure of Barnaby Brooks Jr. from Tiger and Bunny, and had asked me like, hey, do you want it? And I was like, okay, sure. And then ended up like not sending it over until she was back over in like the other side of the ocean. And I was like, oh geez, that Let me know if, like, you don't send it if you don't want to, but she sent it anyway. And it's cool. It's a little Barnaby Brooks. He's got a big head, and he's cute. But she also threw in some art prints because Dashiana does art. Check out Dashiana on DeviantArt. I think it's Dashiana on DeviantArt. Hang on. I got a business card here.
She is.
Dashiana.deviantart.com.
Yes, she is.
Yes. Yeah.
I was confirming it so you didn't have to look for it.
I had already reached for it. But she threw in some really cool art prints, like the what species is Thane Krios? Drell. Like Drell. A Drell profile shot, and then like a picture of Soundwave that looked really cool, a picture of Arachnid that looked really cool. And also threw in a couple bars of Finnish chocolate. And so I put those in the fridge.
Oh, boy.
So I threw them in the fridge to chill up a little bit. I'm going to save them for my birthday and then have some Finnish chocolate on my birthday. So thank you, Dashiana.
Finnish. Okay. You're probably safe. Because they have, in those northern European countries, they have those crazy salty candies.
Do you know what I have in a Tupperware container right next to me that I bought today?
Crazy salt candies?
Double salted licorice and sour soothers, which is my favorite candy combination ever. Because you get these double salted licorices.
You're a lunatic.
They're rough and they're intense and they're hard to chew and they're really, I love them. And then your tongue is wrecked by the time you've had one. And then the only thing that plays nicely with that tongue sensation is to take a sour soother, like a good, proper, kind of hard sour soother. Still chewy, but kind of hard in form. You stick it right on your tongue and just start chewing on it, and then all the sour sugar like immediately reacts with all the salt that's built into your tongue and all the licorice that's tying it all together, and like your tongue reboots on a nerve level, and it's really cool. I do it a couple times in a row. It's kind of like getting tongue high. It's a good time. Yeah, but thank you, Dashiana, very much. The art was a surprise, and it looks really cool, so I got to find good places to put it. And I have walls now, so I need to sometime just get some little frames and put some goddamn art up on these goddamn walls. Also, I got an early birthday present from my mom. And I had this idea for next TFCon, because my mom came up a whole lot in the faction feud, and I feel like she should get a chance to say something back to all of her detractors in the faction feud. So I thought of something today. But she got something. We both, like, she has relatives in Germany. And years ago, when we were in Germany, we were introduced to the concept of a water carbonator. But we never could find them here for whatever reason, because it just, you know, we weren't looking that hard. But she picked one up last year. And an early birthday gift that arrived from thebay.com was a SodaStream Genesis Titan, which is the best name for any piece of really mundane kitchenware that I've ever heard, is the Genesis Titan. So it's basically like a foot-tall little canister of CO2, pressurized, and then like a shell that you put around it, so it can deliver the CO2 into bottles of chilled water. And then it comes with special bottles that like hold all the gas in while the process is going on. It takes like 20 seconds. And you can get these SodaStream-like syrups, which are kind of like the consistency of laundry detergent. And they can flavor your carbonated water into like colas or fruit drinks or stuff like that. It's really good. It tastes lovely, especially with a slice of lime. But I also just like straight carbonated water. So now I got like a Brita filter. I can chill it, put it into the bottle, carbonate it, and I'm sitting pretty in carbonated water. And then SodaStream is a very green company. So with the CO2 canisters, when they run out, SodaStream gives you a deal on, if you exchange them, you get like half price on refills, because they will take the empty CO2 canisters, clean them out, and reuse them to prevent landfill waste. And you can do it over the internet, which involves shipping labels and stuff. But if you have a SodaStream retailer, you can do it right there. And I found out there is a SodaStream affiliated retailer literally a 20-minute walk from my apartment. I haven't gone there yet, but even if they somehow do not exist anymore, the Bay downtown connected to the Toronto Eaton Center apparently also is a SodaStream retailer. So now I am sitting pretty in custom carbonated water, and I've already started pushing the limits. You're supposed to like carbonate the water until you hear like three loud like brap noises, and I've been pushing it up to like five brap noises, so I'm getting like triple carbonation in my water, and it's so good. And I got this syrup, which is basically like Coke Zero, and adding a slice of lime to it and triple carbonated, and it's like it's wonderful. So
yeah, both my cousins, separate cousins, Matt and Debbie, have really gotten into those things, and we were looking at one at a Costco a few weeks ago, considering it. I'm trying to get away from soda again. I keep getting dragged back in, but like I'm mostly done with any kind of corn syrup sodas.
Yeah.
And I found that what I'm craving a lot of the time isn't so much the sugar, but the carbonation.
I'm in the same position.
So like one of the things I've been drinking a lot of is just this carbonated water with just a little bit of lime flavor.
Yeah.
That's just got no sugar, no calories, nothing. It's just carbonated water with some lime. So like something like that might be good.
Yeah, it's
because it works out a lot cheaper too, right?
It's especially if you're not buying the syrups, if you're just making the carbonated water, it's absolute savings. If you can drink your tap water, or if you have a Brita filter, then
yeah, I've had a Brita filter for years and years and years. I couldn't imagine not having one.
Because a CO2 canister, I don't know what the American price is. I'm guessing it's like $30 for a CO2 canister. If you just buy one,
looked into it.
But if you do the exchange program, then your CO2 canisters are like $15, and they have apparently enough. They have enough CO2 to carbonate at least about 60 liters of water. So it prices out in a friendly kind of manner. It's not like massive savings. It is not massive savings if you're getting the syrup. If you're getting the syrup, I saw a vlog that priced it out to, say, about 67 cents a liter if you're making soda instead of just water. But nonetheless, it's like slight savings if you buy a lot of name brand soda, and it's also massively more environmentally friendly because you're just using the same bottles over and over again. You're recycling the CO2 containers over and over again. You're not contributing to the mass amounts of plastic bottles that are stacking up all over wherever. So I like it. And also, it's called the friggin' Genesis Titan. Like, the Genesis Titan. I was walking around school telling people, my Genesis Titan's arriving pretty soon. I'm looking forward to it. They're like, what's that? And I'm like, oh, it's the silver Genesis Titan. Yeah, I'll tell you about it later. And you sound like a badass. Also, no electronics at all, because it is literally just a button you push to release CO2 from a canister. So a lot of the look of it is just purely cosmetic, which is kind of nice, because it works if your power goes out. You can still carbonate your water if your power goes out.
And looking into it, the different models, like the cheaper models use a plastic bottle, but then there's a more expensive model that uses glass.
Yes, the crystal.
If you want to avoid. And I think another version has like stainless steel involved somewhere where it's plastic.
There's a stainless steel bottle you can get. I don't know if it comes packed with any of them, but I know they sell it on their website. The other thing about this is this all feels like e-cigs, but way healthier. And way less semi-illegal.
Yeah, I mean, you've always been able to get, like, seltzer water with a little squirt nozzle thing. Mm-hmm. Like, we used to get those, and one of the things I would do back in those days is I would, like, fill a glass, like, 3/4 full of fruit juice, and then top it off with the carbonated water.
I do that all the time. Apple juice and carbonated water.
So good. The grape juice, orange juice, whatever you got. Sparkle up your juice.
White wine or red wine with carbonated water is something they do for kids in Europe all the time. Like, carbonated water plays nice with everything, in my experience. It might be weird, you know, trying to make coffee with it, but yeah, maybe you should stop drinking coffee.
Something I wondered is what would happen if you made coffee, but instead of water, you used energy drink.
Four Loko would eventually happen. Because there's no way that would start and not somehow cross paths with alcohol along the way.
I don't know.
You'd be so hyper, you'd be like, you know what this really needs? Some vodka. And it's like,
I'm afraid that it would wreck my coffee machine, or I would never be able to get the taste out afterwards. Like, there'd always be, like, a hint of Red Bull or something.
Yeah.
So I don't want to try it on my coffee machine.
But on someone else's.
Or if somebody out there listening wants to give it a go and let us know how it went, that'd be cool.
Similarly, someone out there who has a Soda Stream or a carbonator thing, if you can tell me what happens if you try to recarbonate Coke, I kind of want to know, or beer, or if you like make tea and chill it and then put it in the carbonator. Like, it's very explicit saying that really the carbon gas only really connects with chilled water and to not put syrup in before you carbonate it. But I'm like, what happens if you try to recarbonate? Does it just explode? Or I don't know. But that's all I got this week. I almost bought a few things today, and then I stopped myself because I was like, the stuff will all probably be on sale at some time, and I really need it, and I'm probably buying it so I have something to talk about, so I decided not to. Moving right along. Gog Dog, did you get anything off topic this week?
Yeah, I actually forgot to mention it. I said earlier, I was like, I didn't think I got anything, but I did. I picked up a game. I got myself Persona 4 Arena.
Oh, yeah, you did.
Yeah, if you're into fighting games, that is a really fun game. And there's a bunch of us in our little Twitter community that have been playing quite a bit. I actually haven't been playing as much as I like because I've been trying to finish off Demon's Souls, which I borrowed from Quinn Jester. I had borrowed Dark Souls from him and beat it, and I love that game. I loved it a lot more than I ever expected to. They were supposed to shut down the servers for Demon's Souls by now, but they ended up leaving them online indefinitely right now due to player support, so I figured now was a good time. And I just beat the all but one boss. I just needed to fight one more boss before I unlock the very end of the game, which so I'll probably have that beat sometime this week, but and then that'll give me more chance to get into Persona Arena. But yeah, if you like Persona 3 and Persona 4, this game has a lot of story that takes place after those games, and it's legit interesting stuff. It's not just tacked on little fighter game story. There's some legit stuff going on in there. Most of it's in the format of a visual novel, so keep that in mind. But if you have investment in any of those characters, I think you'd be interested to see what's happening in the story, because it's really cool. But and it's also a good fighting game. I've been loving it. So not much more to say other than that. But I also got a little minifigure today. I tweeted it out. I told a story to Seth a few weeks ago that I think it was in 209, where I've tried the whole I'm going to feel a minifig and guess, and I've never even come close to getting the right one. But Kinex has their little Mario Kart kits that you can build and stuff, and which I've never really gotten other than I got a Bowser minifig off eBay like a few months ago. But and those were never blind packed either. Like, it showed the character on the wrapper of which one you were getting, but I guess they've actually turned around and started doing blind packed ones. So I was like, you know, I don't want a Mario or a Yoshi or anything. Like, I like Bowser cause he's Bowser. He's the big, bad dragon dude. He looks like a badass. You know, I've always thought he was cool since I was a kid. But for some reason I've always been fascinated with the little toad dudes too. Like, I don't know why. I think as a kid, like, I used to draw them, and there's these little simple mushroom hat looking dudes that are just always happy. And, you know, I don't know. So I'm like, you know what? They're only $2. I'm going to try to get me a little toad. So I felt like five or six of the little baggies. And I'm like, I think this is it. Like, I think I can feel that giant mushroom head cap thing hat. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go with it. And I actually got it. So I had a small personal victory today.
Hey.
For the first time in my life, I actually felt a blind bag fig and correctly chose it, even though it was probably the easiest possible minifig ever in the history of mankind that you could guess because of the head. But, you know what? Baby steps. Personal victories. There we go. So, I got a little bit of personal satisfaction from that. But that's it. That's all I got.
All right. I totally dropped my wrist rest for my mouse. So I got that this week. Seth, what did you get this week that was not on topic?
Off topic.
Off topic.
No. I got some Lego. Hey, Aaron, what's up? Small Lego things. I'm not ready to commit to big hits.
I'm not ready to take that step yet.
No, it's the time, or not even the time, the space. Because, like, if I get, like, a big Lego thing, I'm not going to want to take it apart.
No, me neither. That's why I've stayed away from it. Because I'm like, if I build this thing, because I've heard, like, oh, yeah, you can take it apart and build it again. I'm like, but that's not what I want to do.
Like, if I had a big, huge house, like, let's say I win the lottery.
Congratulations.
Now I got a big, huge house. Like, I would love to get those modular sets. Like, the big three-story department store and the pet shop, and they all interlock together, and you have this whole block of buildings. That thing looks... Those all together look awesome. I got nowhere to put that right now. So, forget it. But, like, there's these little mini Star Wars kits that come in these balls that are like planets. And I got one of the Wave 1 of that a while ago, which was a TIE Interceptor that came in the Death Star, because that's rad. And they all come with a minifig. And the minifig isn't to scale with the vehicle. Like, you can't put them in any way, because the vehicle is so shrunken down to make these tiny little kits. But, like, they make, like, a little display stand. So you have the vehicle on one end, and you have the little pilot on the other side, and there's a little nameplate thing. So, like, the TIE Interceptor came with a TIE pilot. And then the other two from that wave, there's three in the wave, the other two were Episode 1 stuff. So, like, there was a pod racer and a Naboo starfighter. And it's like, meh, who needs it? But Wave 2 is all original trilogy stuff. So there's an X-Wing with just, like, generic X-Wing pilot. That one I got before the other two, and I put that together already. And the X-Wing is pretty neat. I mean, they're tiny, so there's not tons of super detail and stuff. But the other two are the really cool ones. One is a cloud car, and what makes that one so rad is the minifig that it comes with is Lobot, who's awesome.
They've never done a minifig Lobot before?
If they did, I don't know.
I mean, I'm not surprised if they didn't, but I'm also kind of surprised if they didn't. Because he's usually, like, he's that obscure guy that just not enough people remember for him to be really cool. Because he's the dude with the cyborg, like, male pattern balding. Yeah.
He was Lando's dude. Lando just had to give him a look, and he's just like...
Well, he got his own shot in the movie where he's, like, deactivated, and he, like, opens his eyes and looks up, and I was like, that's badass.
Yeah, but when it was time to, like, do stuff, like, Lando just had to look at him and be like, just give him the eyebrows, and Lobot's like, I got it. It's on. I'm just going to tap this thing on the side of my electronic earmuff. Yo, it's taken care of. I got you. And then the other one is a AT-ST, little two-legged walker.
Oh, sweet.
With one of the drivers from that. So, like, the gray, like, super bucket head, but no face mask kind of a guy. And he's got a real angry face. He's like, oh, but those are both cool looking. I haven't put them together yet. Then also off topic, I got a Beta Ray Bill Marvel Universe fig.
Ooh, is he single-packed?
Yeah.
Ooh, I got to track him down.
I tweeted a picture a little while ago while we were recording.
Did you find it at retail, or did you get it from BBTS?
I got it at BBTS.
Okay.
I was pre-ordering stuff, and I saw the pre-order for it. I'm like, I'll just throw it on her. Because, man, maybe I'll see it on pegs, but... It would have turned out to be one of those things I end up stressing out over not finding for a really long time. So I just want, you know, whatever. Peace of mind. I'll pay a couple extra bucks for peace of mind. So, yeah, he's rad. Yo, ask me if he's got thigh swivels.
Does he have thigh swivels?
Yeah, he does.
I'm buying him.
Does he have rolling ankles?
No, unfortunately.
I don't want him. No, I still want him.
But, yo, ask me if you can open and close his mouth.
Can you open and close his mouth?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Oh, yeah. You could open it way super, like, 90-degree angle open where he's like, oh.
Tweet me a picture of that right now.
Closed. Of super open?
Yeah.
All right. Hang on.
Man, that is awesome. I didn't think they'd be able to fit, like, a moving mouth on a Marvel Universe figure.
Well, I mean, it also helps when your mouth is a horse skull.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, why couldn't they do that on, like, the Juggernaut?
I gotta crank this light over.
Make his little jaw, like, flap inside his giant helmet thing. Rah, 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 I'm the Juggernaut.
They call me Juggy.
While you're doing that, I'm going to mention that the other night, it's happened a couple nights in a row, I've gone on Shapeways and I've looked at the Thugger and Seismus, the Smashmaster and the Predator, all the stuff that Fake Busker is doing on Shapeways, and I've almost ordered them a bunch of times, but I really can't afford to do that right now. But I'm slowly cracking on that stuff. I don't know. I think it was all PR getting the Shapeways heel extensions for Defender somehow led me down this path of like wanting to order like five figures off of Shapeways so I can say I've made a Shapeways figure. I'm still looking at them. I'm trying to decide. Well, I've heard the best choices for materials are white, strong and flexible, polished, or frosted ultra detail. So I'm eyeing these things.
Well, one of the things with Beta Ray Bill here is his cape and shoulder pads aren't attached to the figure. They just sort of sit on his shoulders.
Hmm.
Which is mostly okay. but I don't know. It's kind of interesting that they chose to do it that way. Sometimes, like, just posing him around while you've been doing the show here, the arm will push shoulders up, the shoulder pads up into positions where it's clearly not attached. It's a choice they made for good or ill.
I was able to live with the Dark Hawk figure, so I'm sure I'll live with that.
Yeah, and that looks way more awful.
Yeah, it is. The wings are terrible on that Dark Hawk.
Like, when things are lined up right on Beta Ray Bill, it does look really good how the cape looks. But it will also just fall off when you hold it at too much of an angle. There's nothing holding it in place. It just is resting on his shoulders. So I tweeted that picture.
Yeah, he looks good. It's been a while since I've seen a Marvel Universe figure that... it's been a while since I've seen a new one, but it's been even longer since I've seen one that I was interested in.
Man,
I've kind of fallen out of love with them, but I will be picking up Beta Ray Bill for sure.
Beta Ray Bill looks like he's going to bite somebody's face. Like, he's going to say, put your head in here. And then he's going to chomp down. And he's like, I can bite your head.
And, like, I don't think any parts are reused. Like, maybe they sculpted new details onto an existing chest. I don't exactly recognize it, but his legs are specifically sculpted. He only has three finger hands, so I mean, those are original. The head is obviously original. He's got his hammer. It's a whole deal. It's not like, we took the Spider-Man body and just painted it and it's got a different head, and it's got like the blank head that we use for any character with a full head mask. So it's a whole new figure, as best as I could tell.
Chris, did you read Thanos Imperative?
I believe I did. That's the one that ended with the awesome, cool moment, right? I don't want to say it, because if I say it, that's kind of a massive spoiler.
Okay, well, did you read the aftermath where Cosmos is going around talking to the heroes? There was an appendix issue.
I don't think I read the appendix issues. No.
Okay. Well, I won't say anything spoilery. But basically, the aftermath of Thanos Imperative, Cosmos goes around and is trying to like recruit some other characters for a new team, mm-hmm. and he finds Beta Ray Bill, and like Beta Ray Bill is basically just in this city on a different planet. He doesn't have his helmet on or nothing. He's just basically in, like, his pants, and he's shirtless, and he's, like, straight up, like, construction worker. He's just helping them, like, rebuild the city in the aftermath of this battle.
Oh, I think I did read that. That's
and it, I don't know. I just thought that was really cool, because it's just like, what does Beta Ray Bill do when he's not, like, in uniform and, like, saving the galaxy? Like, yeah, he's like, a construction worker. He's like,
even better if he was like that, but still wearing all of his Thor stuff.
But it was cool seeing him out of that costume, like, and because I don't read a lot of Marvel comics anymore, so I don't have like a, I haven't read a lot of stories that have Beta Ray Bill, but it was just funny seeing him out of his uniform or costume or whatever, and just like chilling out, like, yeah, I'm gonna take a water break. It's kind of hard, you know, carrying these bricks around rebuilding this skyscraper. Like, I don't know, I got a kick out of that scene. It was pretty funny.
I used to have the Ballad of Beta Ray Bill trade paperback, which was all the issues of Thor that introduced Bill. And he's supposed to be guarding the fleet of ships carrying his race across the galaxy, and like they're all in hibernation. He's supposed to be guarding them, but apparently he has time to do other stuff. Like, he takes Thor's hammer away. Like, well, he encounters Thor. There's the misunderstanding that always happens to make heroes fight. He gives Thor a run for his money. Thor drops his hammer. Bill goes to pick up the hammer. And, you know, only those who are worthy can wield Thor's hammer. And he's worthy, so he picks it up and becomes the Beta Ray Bill we all know and love. And then he's like, well, I'm keeping this. And Thor's like, dude, that's mine. And he goes, yeah, but I can use this to protect my people, so sorry. And then there's this whole big thing, and then Odin's like, you know what? You're a hell of a nice guy. I'm going to have a new hammer made just for you. Because you're so bro.
Aww.
Go protect your people. And then you find out that his people hate him. Is he was genetically modified to be powerful enough to protect them while they're all asleep. So he looks different. Like, the rest of his race doesn't have this big skull horse face. So, like how in early Thor comics, like, Donald Blake would tap the staff and become Thor. Like, Odin built into his new hammer where he could tap that down. And he'll look like he used to before being modified. And it turns out that's not tricking anybody. And they just think he's masquerading. And he's still the same genetic freak that he's always been. But once he's so dedicated, he's like, well, you know, they're still my people. Even though they're dicks, I got to make sure they're okay. But, you know, if you're into the whole cosmic Marvel thing, you have to get Beta Ray Bill.
And I will. And I'm going to get Nova 2.
Then I've gotten some more computer stuff. So I had this Logitech keyboard for years.
Mm-hmm.
Years! And a couple years ago, I spilled some soda on it.
No!
And the little 10 key over on the right side became useless because you press a key and then it doesn't come back up for like 3 minutes. So I broke down, got a new keyboard, another Logitech, but it's from like their game series. And it's like a model or two ago, so it was like $50 on Amazon. Like, the newer ones have like this crazy little screen built into them, and you could display all kinds of stuff on there, like your CPU power, game relevant stuff. It's nuts. But I didn't get that. Because another thing I wanted is I wanted a lit keyboard. Because like my MacBook Pro has the lit keys, and I loved it. Like, oh my God, I could type in the dark and see the keys. So this has lit keys, which is nice. But man, I'm having a hard time typing with it right now because the keys are a different size. Like they're a little smaller and a little closer together than my old keyboard.
Yeah.
So I'm constantly hitting wrong keys. But I'll adapt. I'll get used to it.
That sounds like how I was with those, like the couple times I tried using those roll up keyboards, like the little USB like plastic roll up ones that are supposed to be like waterproof and stuff. And the problem is there's no give on the keys, so typing on them is like hammering your fingers into a table, and it's actually I found pretty difficult to do normal typing on.
Well, these keys feel nice typing. Mm-hmm. I'll adapt, and already it's better now than it was on day one. I just have to adapt to the dimensions. Because I was using that other keyboard for longer than any keyboard I've ever had. Like, I've had that keyboard for a really, really long time. I'll get used to it. It feels nice. Then I also got, because I'm nuts. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I was thinking. I bought a flight stick.
I saw you tweeting all about buying a flight stick, and I was sitting there staring, going like, what's he doing? And I don't think it's bad. I think it's awesome. I like flight sticks. I used to have one for playing Mech Warrior, and I was
I had one a long time ago that used like a SCSI port or something. I think I even still have it. I just don't think my new computer has the port for it. But it was a nice ambidextrous stick that had a throttle wheel. It was really good. And I played Mech Warrior with it. I played TIE Fighter and X-Wing and Aces over Europe and Aces over the Pacific. And, it was a good time. Being left-handed as I am, my choices in sticks are always going to be limited. I either have to find ambidextrous sticks or ones where you could swap parts. And that's what this is. This is a Thrustmaster. There's a couple pieces you take off and replace, and now it's left-handed. Mm-hmm. And I haven't had a chance to use it too much, but you know, it feels nice. It should get the job done. I did get it specifically for a game, which technically I'm under an NDA, apparently.
Oh.
So I can't talk about it.
Oh, jeez.
Which is really, I think it's dumb, but I don't want to get in trouble.
That's okay.
So I won't talk about it here. But, yeah. I haven't had a chance to really play yet. Like, I jumped in once, and things went real bad for me super quick. I hadn't learned the controls yet. I'm just dumped in this multiplayer situation. I'm like,
hey guys,
I don't know how to walk straight, and I'm getting blown all up. So I'm gonna try to play it more this weekend and actually learn what the buttons do. I know a couple other people that are under the same NDA right now. Try to team up with them. And then I probably shouldn't dance around it anymore because I don't want to get in trouble.
Yeah. We have just enough listeners, I think, for that to be a risk. We've got just over 20. So it could be dangerous.
That joke is corny. Don't do that.
What joke?
We only got like 8 listeners.
Look, man, I'm chewing on a cheese curd right now. I'm dead serious.
Oh, we're doing this live show and there's only like 5 people in the audience.
You would have liked it if you were there.
Yeah, when you show up, Seth, you can have the right to poo-poo our jokes. Even though I thought that was kind of a dumb joke, too.
Yeah,
but,
there you go.
But I was there. But I showed up, so I can say that.
Yeah. And why do you hate me?
Do not infringe on my right to criticize people. It's all I have left.
I like the pause and then just people.
So that's all I got this week.
Okay. I got poutine this week.
Mm. Yeah, you did.
Ah! Well, I think that brings us to the end of the show for this week. If you'd like to leave us a voicemail, our voicemail inbox number is 318-775-9830. That's 318-775-9830. 318-775-9830. This is Vangelis. That was Gog Dog and Seth. This was WTF at TFW. Thank you for joining us, and we'll be back next week. And what's the date today? Okay. Next weekend, that being the weekend after the one that starts tomorrow, is when Prime starts again. So get ready for that. I'm excited. Gog Dog, are you excited?
Oh, yeah. I'm excited. Yeah, I have some things that I need to say.
To talk about Prime.
Are I need to talk excited? About Prime. I need to talk about the Prime fandom.
You need to talk about Prime after having watched the episode.
Yes, but I, well, but I also want to talk...
But you're also under NDA. You're under NDA but, right now, so you can't.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. There's some things that I need to get off my chest, and I will be more than happy to save that till Prime time.
So. Yes, I noticed you scratching your nose and kind of,
Yeah.
But until then, we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye, everybody.
Good night.
I already miss you.
It means, but you got some badass perpetrators that are here to stay.